Our scripture reading this morning will come from Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. We'll be reading chapter 2. We'll be reading from verses 15 through 21. And that's found on page 1062 of your pew Bibles. It's this time, let us listen to God's word for us. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, and is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Several years ago, when I was living in Atlanta, in Georgia, there was a woman, a street preacher, who used to go downtown Atlanta and preach to all of the passers-by. She used to wear a cardboard sign that had various scriptural references on it, but she used to go and would preach to all those who were on their lunch hour or all those who were going to and fro to work. Some people laughed at her, some people applauded her, most people ignored her, but she preached to them just the same. And she had one constant refrain that she would say over and over again. She would say, "You better get right with God. Better get right with God." It's an interesting preaching strategy, perhaps. You better get right with God. Getting right with God is important. But I suspect that if the Apostle Paul was to hear her, Paul would probably correct her just a little bit and remind her and remind all of us that we are already right with God. All of us are already right with God. That's the concern that Paul has in the passage that we just read from Galatians. Paul uses a word over and over again, the word justification. And the word justification is one of those words that's often bandied about, often debated in the church, particularly in Protestant circles. But justification simply means that we have been made right with God. We are in right relationship with God. We are justified by God. We are justified and made right by God because God has already claimed us and loved us. And so Paul would tell this street preacher in Atlanta that we don't have to get right with God, but we are already right with God. We acknowledged a few moments ago that when we said our prayer of confession, that we are all sinners, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. All of us have been enemies of God. All of us have turned our backs on God. But Paul wants us to understand that we have now, all of us who are sinners, we have now been made right. We have now been justified, made right, brought back into right relationship with God. And Paul wants us to understand that it is not our doings that have put us right with God. We've been made right with God not because of who we are or what we have done, but we are made right with God because of who God is and what God has done through the faithful obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of the love of God and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on the cross, that we have all been made right with God. That was the good news that Paul took out into the world. Paul, you'll remember, was given a mission to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. That is, he was called to proclaim the good news to people who were not Jews, to people who were outside of the household of faith, to people, many of them, who had never heard of Israel's God. Paul was sent to proclaim the good news, and that's what Paul did. He proclaimed the good news that Jesus Christ, this Jewish Messiah, is Lord, and that because of Jesus' faithfulness, because of his obedience, that we have all been made right with God. But Paul is angry in the writing of this letter to the Galatians. He is angry because someone has gone behind Paul to the churches in Galatia and have told the people there that it was not enough to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That if they really wanted to be made right with God, then they had to do something more. They had to become Jews. They had to adhere to the Jewish law, the Torah, especially those aspects of the law that served as the boundary marker separating Jews from everyone else. They had to become circumcised. They had to watch what they ate. They had to watch who they ate with. They had to attend the purity parameters. If they did all of that, then these people were reminding them that they could become right with God. They could be considered a part of the household of God's people. But when Paul hears it, Paul is livid, and Paul reminds them that they have already been made right. You foolish Galatians, he says, you have already been made right with God. You do not have to do anything. You do not have to become something that you are not. You do not have to become circumcised. You do not have to watch what you eat. You do not have to watch who you eat with. You have been made right with God. All of those who now profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are a part of the household of God's people. It is not what you do. It is what God has already done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your being made right with God is a result of God's pure grace poured down on all of us. That's what Paul proclaimed to this community of Christians in Galatia. For Paul, of course, there was a lot at stake. One thing that was at stake was community. Who are the people of God? Are the people of God divided? Are there such things as Jewish Christians who are over here on one side and Gentile Christians over here on the other side? And so Paul was very much concerned about table fellowship and about the unity of the body of Christ. And so Paul wanted to make sure that everyone understood that there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God, that it's a result of pure grace of what God has already done. But for Paul, what was also at stake was the necessity of the Lord's death. If we could be made right with God on our own instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there would have been no reason for Jesus to have died. The effects of the Lord's death would be nullified. But Jesus did die for all of us. And because of that, we are all justified. We have all been made right with God. That's what the Galatians needed to hear, and that's what we need to hear as well. There's something about the lavishness of God's grace, of God's free gift given to us undeserving sinners, that is hard sometimes for us to accept and fathom. We Americans especially are proud people. We like to believe that we don't need anything. We don't need anything. We don't need anybody. We can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We may be sinners, but we can still pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We don't need anyone or anything. Of course, we are not so much interested today in circumcision or in anything like that, but we have our own ways in which we try to justify ourselves. Some of us try to justify ourselves by being good. If we can just be good enough and virtuous enough, then God will see us and love us, and other people will see us and love us and respect us, and we can be justified. We can be made right. It's the way some people think. If I can just be good enough, if I can go around doing the right kind of things, I may not be able to do anything else, but if I could just be good enough, then maybe God will see and love me and make me declare me to be right, justified. There's nothing wrong with being good, of course. It's good to be good to the extent that we can be good. The Bible reminds us, of course, that only God is good. But being good is not what makes us right with God. There's no amount of goodness that we can do that makes us right with God. Some of us try to justify ourselves by being right, by believing the right doctrines, and being on the right side of the social and political issues of the day, whatever that side we might feel is. We can just be right, believe the right things, believe the right doctrines, believe the right things in the Bible. We could just believe the right kind of things, then we can be made right with God. I think that's the reason that we Presbyterians are constantly battling and fighting with each other, because we want to be right. If we can be right and believe that we are right, then we believe that we're on the right side of God and we can be justified and that God will love us. Some of us try to justify ourselves by working hard and being successful and making a lot of money and living in the right kind of neighborhood and driving the right kind of car. It's one of the ways we try to justify ourselves. We can just get the right kind of job or secure the right kind of education, live in the right kind of neighborhood, then we can be justified. We can be worth something. We can be somebody. Some of us try to be justified by being religious. We just say our prayers enough. We just come to church every Sunday, and there's nothing wrong with coming to church. Coming to church is a good thing. I want you to come to church every Sunday. But coming to church and being religious is not what justifies us. It's not what makes us right with God. None of those things make us right with God. Paul wants us to understand that we don't have to do any of those things to become right with God, that we are already right. We have already been justified by God. We've already been loved by God and saved by God. God has already reached down to rescue us and to claim us and to bring us into God's embrace. It's not about what we do. It's about what God has already done in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is pure grace, that we have been made right with God. We are called to put our faith and trust in God. We're called to trust God, not because we believe that it's our faith or our trust that saves us. It doesn't. But we are called to trust in the God who loves us. We are called to trust in the God who has claimed us. We are called to trust in the God who has given himself, given his only begotten Son, so that we might indeed have life. We are called to trust that God. And so whoever you are this morning, whatever you may be going through, no matter how deep your personal failures, no matter how unworthy you think you are, no matter how unforgivable you believe your sins are, no matter what kind of power has a hold of your life, whether you're addicted, whether you feel that your life is going nowhere, the truth of the matter is, the fact of the matter is, that you have been made right with God. God has made you right with God's self. God has already established God's right relationship with you. God has already demonstrated God's love for you. You've already been made right with God. You just have to trust that. Trust in God's love. Oftentimes, we Christians have so focused on sins and judgment and deficiencies that we don't focus in on the good news. And sometimes people don't like to come to church because they're reminded of how deficient they are. They're often made to feel that they are deficient in so many ways. But if we are doing our jobs right here, the thing that people will hear when they come to a place like this is that they have already been made right with God. God has already claimed them because God's grace has been lavishly poured out on all of us, on the whole world. Of course, God never leaves us where we are. God doesn't leave us where we are found. There's something called regeneration. There's the fact that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and transforms us and changes us and empowers us so that we're able to live as God's transformed people. God is constantly working in our lives, helping us to be the people that God has called us to be. But all of that is also God's grace. None of that is done on our own. We're able to boast of nothing. It's all about what God does. The initiative begins with God. The suffering, self-giving love begins with God. The dying for us on the cross is all God's work. The declaring that we is right, that we are right, is all about God. The Holy Spirit that transforms us and regenerates our heart is all of God's doing. It's all about God's grace. We can take credit for none of it. But the important thing for us to remember is that because of it all, we have been made right. We are justified. We are set in right relationship with God. There is, of course, a response. We are called to respond to God's grace. We are called to respond to what God has done for us in joy and thanksgiving. The things that we do are done not because we're trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, not because we're trying to get God to love us, because God already loves us. The things that we do are done out of gratitude, out of joy and thanksgiving for what God has already done for us. Because God has freely loved us, we've been set free. We don't have to be anxious about our lives. We don't have to be anxious about trying to be good. We don't have to worry about whether we're good enough or right enough or whether we look good enough or whether we're worthy enough or whether we can obtain the right kind of position to get people to respect us. We don't have to worry about any of those things because we're reminded that God already loves us. We've already been declared right. We've already been made right. We've been declared right by God because of who we are. Simply because we are people in need. God has claimed us and called us as his own. And so we've been set free. We are free to love God. And we are free to love one another. If anyone had any reason to boast, if anyone had any reason to claim that he could pull himself up by his bootstraps, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul, as you know, was a Pharisee's Pharisee. He knew the Bible inside out. He was a top-notch scholar. He had studied under the best. He was a man committed to God and the ways of God. He was a Jew's Jew, as he himself said, a son of Abraham. And yet Paul gave all of that up. I've been crucified, Paul says. I've been crucified in Christ. I've died in Christ. I've given all of that up. I've died to that attempt to justify myself. And now the life I live is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. It is what connects me to other people around me. I don't have to rely on my Judaism. I don't have to rely on my scholarly pursuits. I don't have to rely on my knowledge of the Bible. I don't have to rely on my goodness. I don't have to pretend that I'm better than other people because I know more than they do. I don't have to pretend that I'm good, better than other people, morally virtuous, more so than other people. I don't have to do any of that. I know that I'm loved and have been claimed by God. I've died to all of that. And now the life that I live is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, exemplified and lived out in me. And that's true for all of us. It's why we're here this morning. We're here this morning not because we need to justify ourselves. We're here this morning not because we have to prove that we're better than other people, than those people that are out there. We're here this morning not because we have to pretend that we believe the right kinds of things, that we have all of our ducks in row, and we have all the right doctrines, and we're on the right side of all the social and political issues. We are here this morning simply because we realize that we have been made right with God. We've already been made right. We already know that God loves us. We know that because God died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies to God. Christ died for all of us. And so, my friends, you don't have to try to be right. You're already justified. You're already set in right relation with God. Trust that. Take it deep down inside of your heart. Believe that. And take that good news out into the world, proclaiming God's love for everyone, for the whole world. You've already been made right. Let us pray. Gracious God, you reminded us that you are indeed a gracious God, that you lavishly pour your grace out upon each and every one of us, that you've poured your grace out upon the whole world. But that sounds too scandalous to us. It's hard for us to believe. We don't want to believe it. We want to believe that somehow there's something that we can do, that we can be worthy in some way. But it is your love that sustains us. It is your love that has sustained us. And it is your love that has declared us and continues to declare that you have made us right with yourself. Help us to take that good news deep down inside of our hearts in all that we do. And we just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.